Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. And in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness. We'll be responding to your email questions and we'll be taking your call. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
I'm doing great. You?
I'm good.
Do we have any callers yet?
We do not have any callers yet, not as far as I know. I'm sure their hands are just racing over to the phone to...
I know. It was fun. Last week we had a couple of folks who didn't get on. Yeah. And I just knew that as soon as you said good afternoon, they were going to be right there waiting to talk to us.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure. Let me give out the phone number, just in case. The phone lines are open. The number is toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 877-514-7300. If you'd like to talk with us today, please give us a call. And you're right, we did have a couple callers from last week who we did not get to, and we would love to talk with them today.
Mm-hmm.
We might even put them at the beginning of the line here.
We certainly could. But
yes.
They have to do their part.
Yes.
They have to call in.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Again, that's toll-free. The phone lines are open, 877-514-7300. We'd love to hear from you today. Sherry, I have an email question here.
All right.
Sherry, I went to your seminar in Bellingham last October. Since then, I've been confused. What is the difference between multiple personalities and subpersonalities? I had an experience back in October where I told my ex-boyfriend that I had a subpersonality, and he got really scared. It seems like a simple concept to grasp. Why can't everyone just accept it and let it be? From one of our listeners.
Oh, well, my goodness, there's just so much in that email. I like that. It's so simple. Why can't everyone just accept it and let it be?
Yes.
Couldn't we apply that to an awful lot of things in life?
Yes.
The primary difference between what people call multiple personalities and subpersonalities, as far as I'm concerned, is that in multiple personalities, they often don't remember or aren't aware that there are other personalities. Now, with subpersonalities, we can be aware that we have many different subpersonalities. However, it's an interesting thing to me because when I'm talking with people who are in a subpersonality, I don't get any information that they know that they're in a subpersonality or that they know there are other personalities.
Wow.
So it's an interesting one. Now, I don't have a fear of that sort of thing. I do just think it's interesting. So I would say we all are multiple personalities, and I realize that that's an alarming concept to a lot of people. It doesn't alarm me, so I can say that. If we want to make a distinction so that we don't get quite so nervous and anxious, we can say... most of us walking around realize that we live in one place and have one relationship and go to one job. We are sort of one person with a lot of different aspects.
Yeah.
And in awareness practice, one of the things that we work hard to do is bring conscious awareness to the process of moving in and out of different aspects of the personality. It doesn't really take us very long once we start paying attention to realize that we do have a lot of different aspects to our personality. You know, the part of you who is an athlete or one of the things that I like to bring people's attention to is that they tend to be different with their mother than they are with a lover.
Yes.
it's a different conversation. You wear different outfits. You know, everything about you is different.
Yeah.
When you're with a parent or with a partner, with a parent, with a child, you're different. At work, you're different.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can be the athlete or the, you have an animal lover or maybe somebody who can't make themselves clean house or, yeah.
Yes. So all of these exist within us.
Yeah.
And at different times, different ones might be more present.
Yeah. And it, again, once we start catching on to it, we see that it's really a parade. I mean, we are going out of in and out of different aspects of the personality constantly.
Yeah.
Person is driving along, and they're in a really good mood because they're anticipating going out to lunch with their good friend, and somebody cuts them off, and suddenly they're a screaming, raving maniac.
Yeah.
Now, we can say that's the same person. Yeah, I mean, they look pretty much the same, although not really, huh? But they're not acting the same. They have different body language. They have different facial expression. They have different thoughts. So they're different people. And it's just a matter of watching long enough to realize that this is the case. I agree with the sort of the, I think, the premise of the writer that it is odd that this is considered something so unusual when, as far as I'm concerned, just a very small amount of paying attention shows us that, in fact, this is what's going on. And it starts out in childhood. You know, we want kids to dress up in the hope that they will behave better than when they're in shorts and sneakers, you know. So if we take them to church, we dress them up, and there's sort of this underlying hope that then they'll stay clean and be well behaved. When we're in a relationship, in a close relationship, if we have something difficult to tell the person, we watch them and wait until the right person is there, and then we deliver the information. So, yeah, we have lots of indicators that we all know that this is going on, but we don't talk about it. We don't make it a regular part of our conversation. We keep it over there in the, those are odd things that we don't notice and we don't talk about.
Yes. Yes. Fascinating. Thank you for that, Sherry. Our phone number today is 877-514-7300. It's a toll-free number in the U.S. and Canada. We'd love to hear from you today, and the phone lines are open. And we have a caller, Sherry.
Well, I'll tell you, Michael, before that happens, I'm having a great deal of difficulty hearing you. So I have a concern that when the caller comes on, I'm going to have a great deal of difficulty hearing that person as well.
I will speak up and let me know as soon as the caller comes on if you cannot hear the caller.
Thank you.
I'd like to welcome Paul from Mountain View. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello, Sherry.
Hello, Paul.
How are you doing, Sherry?
I'm doing well. And you?
I'm enjoying the sun.
Very good.
Sherry, I'd like to ask you about relationships.
Uh-huh.
So, I think I heard in one of your tapes or one of your lectures, you had some metaphor about people either getting on a bus that says looking for a relationship or being on another bus that says wanting to get out of a relationship.
Uh-huh. And that that bus line just kind of runs back and forth?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like something I would say.
Yeah. It was a good one. It's something I've thought about a lot. So, let's see, I haven't been in a relationship for about a year, and actually I'm having a lot of fun.
Even though you're not in a relationship.
That's right. But there's some part of me that feels that I should be in a relationship.
Uh-huh. Because?
Because I've always believed that I should be.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's just kind of the right person thing to do or be.
Yes, and it relates to this whole, like, go to the right school, get the right job, marry the right spouse, have the right kids
mm-hmm.
thing, which I'm questioning.
Yeah, well, having a lot of fun not doing any of those things would cause a person to question that whole piece of conditioning, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and for me, this has just been a really huge deal for as long as I can remember, which may explain why many of the relationships I've had have been very stressful.
Uh-huh. Because what if this isn't the right person?
Yeah.
Then how are you going to get married and have the right kids and live in the right house and have the right job? And yeah.
It's also occurred to me that if I was really determined, I could go out and find somebody and get married. But then I wonder, like, what then?
What if it's the wrong person?
Well, not so much the wrong person, but I just wonder, my experience in the past is that it's like there are certain things in life that just won't be pushed around.
Uh-huh.
And I think it seems like love is one of those things that I can't just make happen.
Mm-hmm.
Not in that way, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think that there's a great deal of evidence that if what you really wanted was to get married and have a family and be happy married with a family, that you could actually go out and find a person who met your basic qualifications.
Uh-huh.
You know, a nice, good person, maybe has a good sense of humor and is attractive to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you could be quite happy with that person, even though you didn't see each other across a crowded room and fall wildly passionately in love.
Right.
Yeah? So, I mean, people have been having arranged marriages for a long time, and many of them will state that they feel it's a better way to have a marriage because it's based on values. It's based on things that are more lasting than lust. I'm not making a case for either one,
yeah.
But it's just in our culture, we do have a deep, deep belief that the only basis for that kind of marriage is this wild passion for one another.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we have that belief, we have quite a bit of evidence that says that isn't necessarily going to be there for the long haul.
Yeah, I hear that. So I have this kind of internal debate that's been going on where there's some part of me that feels like it's okay to be single, and there's a lot of neat things that come out of that, for instance, flexibility.
Uh-huh.
And it's also, I don't know, it's just easier, somehow it seems easier to take care of myself this way.
Uh-huh.
But then there's another side of me that's like, okay, I'm 32 now. Am I just going to sit here indefinitely?
Yeah. Now we're in the email question from a few minutes ago, right?
Uh-huh.
So you have this part of you who has this heavy conditioning about being married and
yeah.
all that goes with that.
Yeah.
And then you have another part of you who finds that he's quite happy being single.
Yeah.
And they're not the same person.
Right.
Oops.
So I wonder, yeah, I guess, I don't know, I just keep
watching. I've lost all communication here.
Paul, are you there?
I am.
Okay, great. Sherry, are you there?
I am, and you folks are way far down a long tunnel.
Okay, I'll check in with our engineer here to see if we can get a little more volume and a better sound environment for Sherry.
That'd be great.
Paul, do you want to again see how that works?
Yeah, you bet. Can you hear me, Sherry?
Sherry, can you hear us?
I just heard you, Michael.
Okay. And Paul, why don't you start again?
Okay, Sherry, can you hear me?
I can't.
Oh. Okay. So So, yeah, I guess I just keep watching this and trying not to believe any of it. And I appreciate the practice and the guidance I get for sort of what to do in a situation like this.
Uh-huh.
So I appreciate hearing your thoughts.
Yeah, and it is a perfect practice opportunity, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. If we want to just go with the conditioning, then we can see how having one part of our personality on one end of a continuum and another part of our personality on the other end of that same continuum is going to be a recipe for suffering. But if we see that this is a dualistic issue, that I have one part of me who feels this way and another part of me who feels this way, I can disidentify, I can step back from both of those parts and watch that dynamic without believing I need to suffer over it.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Okay, so I hadn't seen that as a dualism, but now that you point it out, I can see there might be something there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so now you get to step back into awareness and just watch these two guys.
Right.
Watch what this one says. Watch what this... What does he feel? What does he feel? What does he think? What does he think? What does he believe? What does he believe? And you don't have to decide on either one of them. You don't have to make either one of them the right person and the other one the wrong person. They are two people with valid perspectives.
Interesting.
And you may choose something different from either one of them.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Got it.
Good.
Thank you very much, Sherry.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for your patience in all our technological excitement.
We're all in this together.
We're all in this together.
Thank you for joining us, Paul. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Yes, the technological excitement adds a little fun to it, doesn't it?
Yes. Must be really thrilling for the people listening.
Great. We will be right back with you in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. The phone lines are open here. If you'd like to join our conversation, we'd love to hear from you. The number is toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 877-514-7300. Again, that's 877-514-7300. The phone lines are open here, and we'd love to hear from you. Sherry?
Yes.
I've been thinking recently about what the Buddha taught, what you shared about working out our own salvation diligently,
mm-hmm.
and having one precious life to save.
Yes.
And I find that very inspiring.
Yes. Can you say more about that?
It's like it gives me a reason to do the work.
Uh-huh.
It's like recognizing that I count.
Yes.
Because for so long, I haven't been a part of the equation.
Yes.
I get discounted. Like, how does it help anybody or anyone if I do this work?
Yes. Yes, it's just for me, and it's really hard to do, and I'm not enough of a reason to work that hard.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And when you step back a little bit in the way we were just talking about with Paul, when you take that step back and you look at this fellow whose name is Michael.
Yes.
And he's a very good fellow, and he works hard and tries to be the best human that he can be, and
yes.
He struggles with some things and is really good at some things, and you know, he's just a regular guy.
Yes.
And you have the ability and the opportunity to take him out of suffering and place him in a life that's full of conscious, compassionate awareness.
Yes.
Yeah. And why would a person not want to do that?
Yes.
If he were drowning, if we saw him drowning, we would jump in and try to save him.
Yes. Yes.
And most of us are drowning and suffering.
I was just, you took the words out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm. And so why not just go ahead and be heroic?
Yes.
Just go ahead and realize that you have the courage that it takes to do what is required to save that person.
Yes. Yes. What a gift and what an opportunity that is.
Mm-hmm.
Extraordinary.
Yeah, once we see it that way. And, you know, one of my favorite ticks to get on is this thing about how sympathetic people are to children, how horrified people are at the idea of child abuse, and, you know, our hearts just open and ache and bleed and overflow with love for children.
Yes.
And then a child gets to a certain point, and they cross some sort of invisible line where they're no longer a child, and then we withdraw all sympathy and all compassion. Now they should know better. They should be able to do everything perfectly. We hold them to these outrageous standards, and if they fail to meet the standards, then we have nothing but contempt for them and a belief that they should be punished. And that process is one that we are taught to do with ourselves. Even though everyone certainly listening to this show knows how hard they try to be the best possible person that they can be. So when we step back from ourselves and see that same innocence and defenselessness and goodness in the person that we call myself, then it's not very difficult to find that willingness to do whatever is required to help that person.
Yes. Yes. Yes, it's incredible. And as I've also heard you say, sort of looking to quote, save the world without sort of saving ourselves first.
Yes.
It's just incredible.
Yeah. the one that has made that so famous is the airplane stuff, where you need to make yourself safe before you can assist somebody else.
Yes.
Because otherwise, there you are in the middle of assisting somebody else, and you die because you forgot to put your oxygen on, and now there are two of you who are gone.
Yes.
So if we save ourselves first, if we extend loving kindness and care and compassion to the person we call ourselves, then we have something really solid to offer to someone else. And what we have to offer can be as simple as saving yourself is a worthwhile thing to do.
Yes.
Okay, so I have saved myself. I can save you. You know, Michael, saving yourself is really a good thing to do. It'll ensure that you're going to be around to be of assistance to others.
Yes. Yes.
But if we haven't saved ourselves, we don't really know that.
Yes.
And it can sound from that place of not saving ourselves, from being outside of center and outside of compassion, the phrasing of saving yourself can seem so self-centered and ego-driven and just wrong.
Yes.
And yet, it's the greatest kindness that we can do. Earlier in this show, I was talking about, I'm driving along, I'm very happy because I'm going to go meet my friend for lunch, and then somebody cuts me off in traffic, and I'm, you know, waving my arms and calling them names and, acting like a crazy person. If I'm taking care of myself in that moment, I have a much better chance of not going to that angry, frustrated, feeling like I'm not being given what I need, like that other driver is taking something away from me that I need. If I'm here and I'm living in conscious, compassionate awareness, then the chances are very good that my attitude about that other driver is going to be,
well, they probably just didn't see me, or boy, they must be in a real hurry, or, you know, I hope the way they're driving isn't causing them to be stressful, or I hope they don't run over somebody in their rush to get wherever they're doing, if they're going. And so I just go to a place of wishing them well instead of wishing them dead.
Yes. Yes. Much bigger perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. The phone lines are open here, and we'd love to hear from you. The number is toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 877-514-7300. There were a couple of people we couldn't get to last week, so we'd love to hear from you. Again, that's toll-free, 877-514-7300. And, Sherry, when we stay in that bigger perspective, it seems like a lot's possible there.
Yes, everything, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
Yeah. It's going out into that conditioned reality in order to help ego survive that creates all the problems that we have. And once we get back here, once we find our way back to conscious, compassionate awareness, then everything in life is available to us.
Yes. Yes. When we're not stuck in a story about something wrong or not enough, wanting something to be different.
Yes. In fact, if we notice, those are kind of our basic two choices. I can be in a story of what's wrong, and kind of woe is me and ain't it awful, or how bad they are, you know, that something wrong, not enough, fear, anxiety, you know, something, it's not going to work out in the future. I get into those stories, and there's no possibility because that story is all-consuming. There's no way for anything else to get into me. It's like locking myself up in a small dark room.
Yes.
And when we step outside that small dark room, when we drop that story, then of course the first thing that we tend to realize is, wow, there isn't anything wrong.
Yes. Yes. Wonderful. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We'd love to hear from you today. The number is toll-free, 877-514-7300. Sherry, I was curious if you would like to give us a little update on the African Vulnerable Children Project.
Yes, I most assuredly would.
Great.
As you know, this very Thursday, which I have no idea what the date is, but... let's see. Well, I can get there, though. Yesterday was the 4th, which would make today the 5th, so maybe the 7th.
7th, yeah.
Of July. Four of the monks are getting on an airplane, and they're going to make their way to Lusaka, Zambia, and they're going to actually meet up with some other folks who are coming there to be on retreat with them. And while these folks are there, many things are going to be going on. They're going to be going to the school that Living Compassion is adopting, and finding out what needs to happen there. Putting that whole adoption of the school, 2,500 kids, 35 teachers, and nothing in terms of infrastructure. Putting that in place, getting the sewing cooperative started. They're going to be coming back with as many pairs of meditation pants as folks can sew while they're there, and setting up that relationship for the future, and also looking into what other small businesses and cooperatives will be able to set up, and also looking into the next house that we'll be buying for the next group of orphans to live in. So they're going to be very, very busy for 3 weeks, and of course having a good time as well, because it is a wonderful experience to be there. So we're excited about that. Those of us who are left behind are going to be very busy here, because they're there are a small number of us, and we're going to try to keep everything else going, the monastery up and running, and Living Compassion going and all that. So if there's anybody out there who's used to being at the monastery, who's been there for a few retreats and likes to be part of the keeping things going crew, we welcome you to come and be with us. We've been getting up very early in the mornings because it's been hot. getting up very early in the morning and putting a garden in. Our monk population has been so small and kind of stretched that we got way behind in the gardening, and so we're making this massive effort, and that's being a lot of fun. We have all these little plants in there, and they're growing like crazy. So we have an invitation out to folks who would like to be at the monastery for a quiet time, just doing a lot of watering and weeding and things like that.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And nobody's calling us, so I'll tell you something else that I really want to underline for people, and that is what we're going to be doing in September in North Carolina. We have the first part of the month, we have a retreat at a gorgeous retreat center in Waynesville, North Carolina, called Seven Springs. And that'll be a regular, just like being at the monastery, you know, it's a working retreat, and we do a lot of sitting and group discussion and guidance and that sort of thing. And then we leave there and go to Nantahala Village for our first Living Compassion gathering. And I really encourage anybody out there listening who would like to just have a chance to be with us. All the monks are going to be there. I'm going to be there. Lots of Living Compassion folks. And we're going to go there to, number one, have a good time, because it's a really beautiful place to be. Nantahala Village is a place where we do our annual January or February work retreats, and this is a time for us, an opportunity for us to be there in gorgeous weather, and just all kinds of fun things to do, from, you know, golfing to biking and hiking and tennis and swimming and just everything that you could do at a resort. And then we will also be talking about Living Compassion and the projects and what we're doing there, and having some group discussions, and people can do yoga, and I just think it's going to be a wonderful opportunity for people to gather and be with Sangha in a way that helps us practice mindfulness and awareness when we are not in a strictly silent environment.
Yes.
So they can go on the website and read more about it. But I really hope people will take advantage of this opportunity, because Nantahala Village has opened the place up to us, and they're actually going to give us 20% of everything that people spend there on food and lodging and whatever else is going on for this period of time. So it's a wonderful way to have a vacation with great people and also make a contribution to Living Compassion. And if we like doing this, the village has told us that it can be an annual event. And, of course, my dream is that we eventually take over the entire village with Living Compassion folks.
Fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds really great.
Mm-hmm.
You're on retreat, in a sense, and you're on vacation, and
mm-hmm.
every dollar you spend is supporting Living Compassion?
Yes.
Fabulous.
You
can learn more by going to the Living Compassion website, which is www.livingcompassion.org. Thanks for that update on that, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We're going to take a break here, and we'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes. Coming up next on Open Air, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious compassionate awareness and taking your calls.
So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry, we've stimulated them. We got three callers.
We sounded like we were just going to run out of things to talk about, and they were moved to a compassion for us, and yeah. There they are.
Great. I'd like to welcome Claire from Palo Alto. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good
Hello.
Afternoon, Michael. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Very good. What's going on?
So I did say, there is nothing wrong with your retreat just over a week ago.
Uh-huh. How
and
was that?
And it was
that?
A wonderful experience for me, and I really got to see how a part of me finds it difficult to express herself authentically.
Uh-huh.
And often another part of me, who I name as like a pleaser-type personality, comes in and goes along with other people or does what she thinks is going to keep me safe, which might not be really what I want.
Uh-huh.
So I saw all this in the retreat, and then since then, I've been really aghast at seeing just how prevalent it is in my life, this little pattern that I do.
Uh-huh.
In that it's not... I thought that it was... only with people that I really care about that I do this, but I see I do it with shop assistants and with people that I don't know very well, that I do this thing.
Yeah. Where you just kind of give yourself away?
Yeah.
And is there a sense that it's kind of for no good reason?
Well, I have historical reasons that I understood as a child why I did this, but it's
yes.
for no good reason now as an adult.
Yeah. It's just a habit.
Yeah.
It's an unconscious habit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So in this moment, the process that I'm trying to do is like, because a part of me wants to change all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. That's what we're conditioned to do, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I become aware of something. Okay, that's wrong.
Yeah.
What do I need to do to change that? How do I fix that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the way to go to... Because it depends where I come from. Because if when I see myself doing it again, I beat myself up, then that's just not helpful.
No. It's not a good reward for awareness, is it?
No.
No. And yet, it's deep. It's a deep, deep habit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's how those kinds of really unhelpful, let's say, suffering... ways of being in the world stay in place because mm-hmm. you don't get to see them, and if you do get a glimpse of them, you have to beat yourself up because they're proof that you're the wrong person.
Yeah.
It's kind of a fiendish little system, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to cultivate more the part of me that like accepts that this happened with me and wants to like stay with me and a mentor and care for me throughout these experiences.
Yes. Yes. To take that child and show her a different way.
Yeah.
Not because there's anything wrong with her for having done what she very intelligently did in order to survive.
Mm-hmm.
But because it doesn't take care of her now. It doesn't serve her.
Mm-hmm.
Now she can have much better, much more skillful ways of moving through the world.
Yeah. 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 It's validating just to hear you acknowledge that some of these patterns are so ingrained and to just keep watching and keep being with myself.
Yeah.
One
yeah,
thing at a time.
As we would with a real little external child.
Yes.
Okay? The child, they hit two, and they go into these really interesting developmental stages.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that is to me one most interesting probably is how relentless they are.
You know, they get in a little groove, and then they're just going to do that. They're just going to be that way. And it's such an opportunity for us as we hope, conscious, compassionate caregivers, to stay in that centered place and keep coming back to the thing that is helpful.
Right.
Keep coming back to the thing that is helpful. And that's what we need to do with ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the reason that what we tend to do with children is just start screaming at them.
Right.
Because that's what we learn to do with ourselves.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay, well, that was very helpful just to check in on this. And so I want to thank you.
Well, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Bye, Sherry.
Thanks for joining us, Claire. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We have about 5 minutes left here, and I'd like to welcome Sue from Mountain View. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, you know, you just sounded like you got further away.
We are having some technological difficulties this afternoon.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Well, we'll continue on.
Okay.
I'm calling because I feel like I have the issue of kind of holding on or making up conversations with other people that I that haven't happened, but in my, it's almost, I don't know if it's like a fantasy conversation or not, and then trying to let those thoughts go, like almost letting things go, but I seem to be holding on to things immensely.
Uh-huh. So it kind of, as Claire was talking about, it's like you suspect that this has been a pattern in you?
Oh, it definitely is a pattern. And I'm aware of it now, but it's like really hard to let it go. Like, like I want to continue to have these conversations. And then I get, and some of these lead towards being annoyed or mad or justified in being angry.
Uh-huh.
But that whole, just kind of let it, it's hard to let it go.
It's very hard to let it go. And I would say, and then you can check in and let me know if this is your experience, the reason that it's so hard to let go is that behavior keeps in place a particular part of your identity.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't indulge those behaviors, that part of your identity has no way of existing.
Uh-huh.
Does that seem so?
Yeah, I think that might be, you know, I'm afraid of, well, what if I don't have these conversations? And they're definitely habits of mine.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like if you and I are friends, and what we do when we get together is gossip.
Yeah.
And now you've decided you don't want to gossip any longer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, well, then what are we going to talk about? You know, our whole friendship is going to go away because that's what our friendship is based on.
Right.
So now you're going to change this, and there's not going to be any room for me in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So that part of you who wants to do this is really fighting for her life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of the things that is a possibility, you know, if we think about this as an aspect of your personality, you could give her something else to do.
Such as?
So you could put her in charge of a different kind of conversation. So she could still have conversations, but they would be a different kind of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, she could be in charge of the conversation with you about staying present in the moment.
Okay.
So she could talk to you about what you could focus on or how, under these circumstances, your mind seems to wander, and if you were to do this, then you would probably be. And so she could have conversation, but it would serve both of you more than the kinds of conversations she's currently having.
Right.
You could, now I don't know that that would work, but it would be an interesting experiment.
Right. I'll try it.
Yeah, and way more helpful than that's the wrong thing to be doing. We need to get rid of her and stop that.
Well, it's hard because, with these sort of conversations, which I realize are definitely habits, you know, like you're in the car, you're on your own, and then the next thing you know, you're not having a conversation with anyone. It's imaginary conversation with an external person.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm catching on that it's like, where is this taking me?
Right. Well, and of course, what we suspect is to unconsciousness, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then sometimes I realize, like, I just want to go home and do something that it's like, I'm getting a headache. How do I get rid of this headache?
Uh-huh.
That sort of.
Yes.
Know, it's like,
it's like, sometimes it's like having a narrator, isn't it? It's like somebody is there telling you what's going on with you and then being in relationship with you the way somebody else would be in relationship with you who knows you perfectly. Oh, you have a headache. Oh, I wonder what you could do to get rid of that headache. Maybe if you were to go home and take a nice long bath and... Okay? But there isn't anybody else to do the other side of the conversation, so you just do it inside your own head.
Yeah, and I feel like the whole concept of not letting something go, it's like squeezing it tighter and tighter and tighter.
Yes. And, of course, I often encourage people to do exactly that. Instead of trying to get rid of something, do it more.
Uh-huh.
But do it with consciousness.
Okay.
Let us know.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Sue. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Radio. It's been another great show. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael.
I'd like to thank all of our listeners and all of our callers today, and we'll be with you again next week. Goodbye.
See you then.